Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I am Paul White. It is the 18th day of October. I hope your week is off to a great start. Praying favor on your life. May God be with you. May He bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. Receive of the free favor of God this week, I pray. This weekend, say prayer for us. We go on the road just a little ways, about a three-hour drive from where I live. We're in Chapin, South Carolina on Friday night with our good friends there in the Columbia, South Carolina area. We try to do this every fourth Friday. This is the fourth Friday, 22nd of October. We'll start at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in Chapin. Address is on our website. Send us an email if you're coming. We'd love to hear from you and give you be on the lookout for you. It really blesses my heart to have people. We have people who are driving through or just haven't ever been to the meeting, and it always is such a fun weekend. Then on Sunday, we're here in Flowery Branch for our monthly meeting where we will have the sixth of the seven churches of Asia from Revelations chapter 2 and 3, and we will be dealing with the church at Philadelphia. Pretty fun. They're the city of brotherly love. So I'm looking very, very forward to this weekend. Should be a great, great time. All right. Today, I'm going to try to put a bow on the Tower of Babel story in regards to our journey through the book of Genesis. I still haven't completely settled that I'm totally done with Genesis. I hit highlights our first trip through, and then I hit every verse of chapter 3 and half of chapter 4 on this, our second trip through, and then I've hit highlights from chapter 4 up here into chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel. When you turn the corner into 12, you're going to get into Abram, and I hit a lot of highlights the first time through with Abraham. I'm under really no pressure from anyone other than just going, okay, is there something else I want to say here? And as you know me, that if you've listened long enough, it's usually not very hard for me to come up with something to say. So we'll see what happens. What I do know is that I promised you another day of trying to get our minds around the Tower of Babel story. Listen to the last couple of podcasts if you want to hear two of what I think are three big thoughts in regards to this. Here's the third, and that is that I think what happens at Babel is the confusion of the language is we now understand that man is going to have to work if he wants to do anything great. He's going to have to work together, and working together is not going to be easy. It shouldn't be easy. And because it's not easy, it's going to require sacrifice on both parties. And therefore, if we're going to accomplish anything in the world, we have to learn to compromise. I think if Babel had not occurred and all we had was a society where there needed to be no give and take, I don't know that we would appreciate the accomplishments that we have. I'm not smart enough to know what the world looks like without a Babel. It's really us trying to psychologically understand why there's often confusion. But I do think in classic Jesus fashion, he gives an answer to this conundrum. I tried to preach this a few weeks ago in a conference in Alabama. We titled that The Symphony of the Scriptures. I wasn't completely satisfied with my attempt when I went back and listened. I mean, I liked the sermon and I liked where we landed. I just thought it took me a long time to get wound into it. That sometimes has to do with the nature of conferences. But the basic crux of that thought was that there is a Greek word in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. And the word there for agree is the Greek word symphonio, which is to sound together or to be in accord, a word used primarily of musical instruments and a word by which we derive the English word symphony. So to be in accord requires that we both be playing the same piece of music. So when Jesus says, two of you agree on earth concerning what you ask, it is not simply that two Christians decide they're going to pray on the same thing. Because if that were the case, just whatever we pray about, then God has to do it because, hey, two of us prayed about it. And boy, that's led to a lot of confusing theology, and it's also led to a lot of disappointment. You go, hey, man, my whole church was praying for this guy to be healed, and he wasn't healed. What's the problem? So then we've either got to go through and figure out which is the weak link in the chain, which one of you doesn't have faith, which one of you messed this thing up, or we have to deal with, oh, well, all of us are somehow in sin, God's not hearing our prayer. All that's wrong, I think. We've made sort of a mountain. I don't want to say that what Jesus said was a molehill, but we created a mountain out of a molehill. I think what Jesus is trying to tell us based upon the context, because in the context you have a man, this is Matthew 18, you have a man who isn't getting along with his neighbor, and so you go to him, he doesn't listen. You take a few people with you, he still doesn't listen. You take him to the church, he still doesn't listen. And then you have the power to bind and release, and heaven will agree with you. Heaven will get in symphony with that if two or more of you can get in agreement. So it seems to be dealing with conflict between people. And God says the only way to overcome whatever conflict you have is to get in symphony. How do you do that when you're all dissonant? How do you get in symphony when you are all living in post-Babel? A place where everyone's tongue has been scattered. And that's the great challenge of the Holy Spirit and the great challenge of the believer, to come into concert on the things that matter. And so I believe that what has to happen is that we have to come into concert on the things that matter, find what matters, become in symphonio, become in agreement about them, and watch great things happen. It's the anti-Babel. Babel is you can't build the building anymore because your tongue is scattered. Okay, how would you build the building in a world where your tongue is scattered? You have to find something you can agree on. And so as we come into agreement, then we come into a place where things can happen. Where we refuse to come into any sort of symphony, we live in a post-Babel world where we are refusing to build anything that matters. And it's as if Babel is God's way of saying, you're going to still be able to build great things. You're just going to have to come into symphony to do it. I don't want you to be able to build great things without understanding your neighbor. Without Babel, we could build anything without understanding our neighbor. With Babel, we need the Holy Spirit and the language of love in order to come into concert to do anything great. And I think maybe in that 7 or 8 minutes right there, I got to the heart of what I wanted to say in that sermon even better. And sometimes that's what happens. I just need more time to wrestle some things out before landing in the spot that I ultimately hope that I will land. All right, I think I'll move on from the Tower of Babel, and we will talk about some other things gearing up towards Abram a little bit over the next few days, and I'm eyeballing the calendar. I know we're heading towards the end of the month, and probably we'll start aiming towards something new on the first day of November. In the meantime, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.